40 seasonal greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
This evening, we continue our look at some of the highlights from this year's Rio Olympics in Brazil. Kenyan athletes Eliud Kipchoge and Jemima Sumgong won gold medals in the men's and women's marathons in Rio de Janeiro. Kipchoge clocked 2 hours, 8 minutes, and 44 seconds to win the men's Olympic title, while Sumgong was victorious in the women's race in Rio in 2 hours, 24 minutes, and 4 seconds. In April, Kipchoge and Sumgong also won titles at the London Marathon. As a result of those achievements, the two Kenyans were named the Male and Female Marathon Runners of the Year by AIMS, the Association of International Marathons and Distance Races, at its annual awards gala in Athens, Greece. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Jemima Sumgong in Athens to talk with her about her very successful year. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to their conversation. Here's Andy.
It's been a great year for the women's Olympic champion, Jemima Sumgong of Kenya. Of course, I just said Olympic champion. Started off pretty well competitively, winning the London Marathon title in April. Then came a wonderful experience for her, Olympic gold in Rio. And now, to kind of crown it off, is the AIMS Best Marathon Runner of the Year Award, in the female category, of course, here in Athens. So, Jemima, I just wonder, when you were starting out on your running career, did you anticipate such success?
No, with me, I didn't expect anything for today, because, back in Kenya, we have many more athletes who are more talented than me. So with me, I didn't think that I will be one time to be the best marathoners in female side of AIMS. But with God's grace, he really made me to be here.
So when you were starting out and perhaps looking around at other girls and young women running, did you think you had special talent? Did you think there were others better than you? Did you think there are others better than you when you were starting out to run?
Oh, yeah, I knew. There are more people who are more better than me. We have some sisters back in Kenya. We have some in Ethiopia. We have also some in Greece. Why not Athens? So we have different ladies or girls who can run faster even than me. But only when they train hard.
Looking at your overall results, you've won big races like London, you've had very good times. Okay, you haven't broken 2:20 yet, but I just think when you come to a championship race, especially the Olympics above all, then it's not about pacemakers, it's about coping with all sorts of conditions. Does that suit you? Are you best suited to championship races? Are you best suited to those championship races, you know, when, like, you did well in the World Championships, you were fourth? Is that good for you?
That one, I cannot say that I'm used to World Championship races, because I've never been to Olympic. That was my first time to be in Olympic. It was my first time last year to be in Beijing World Championships. So that can never be I'm used to. But I'm used to huge or bigger marathons like London, Chicago, New York. So also Olympics and World Championships are the major marathons also. So it's like I have a little bit experience than ever. Yeah, that's why I won the championships.
What now? You're Olympic champion. You did well in the World Championships 2 years ago. Do you still have the same hunger? I mean, next year we have the World Championships again. Are you as hungry as an athlete?
With me, my focus is first on after my marathon in April, my country will decide who will go to World Championships and who will qualify to go for World Championships and who will stay. So with me, I don't know if I will qualify or I will not qualify. If in case I will qualify, I'm going to try my level best to win gold in London, in World Championships.
Well, Jemima Sumgong, the AIM's best marathon runner of the year and, of course, above all, the Olympic champion in the women's marathon. Congratulations. Thank you, Jemima.
Thank you very much, sir. See you.
That's Olympic marathon champion Jemima Sumgong of Kenya, and she was talking with the energetic Andy Edwards in Athens, Greece. Another runner who struck gold in Rio de Janeiro was Somalia-born Mo Farah, who competes for Britain. In fact, Mighty Mo struck gold twice in Rio, winning Olympic titles at 5,000 meters and 10,000 meters, just as he did at the 2012 Games in London. Mo Farah is only the second athlete in history to win the 5,000 meters and 10,000 meters at two Olympic Games. The Flying Finn, Lasse Virran, did it at the 1972 Olympics in Munich and the 1976 Olympics in Montreal. The 33-year-old Farah also has five world titles on his impressive athletic resume, making him one of the greatest distance runners of all time. Looking ahead to the new year, Mo Farah says he plans to compete at the 2017 World Championships in London, but then he'll turn his attention to the roads and the marathon distance.
I want to do it. I believe, you know, I have to learn about the event. I have to understand what it takes. And, you know, I'm good on the track and it's taken me years to be able to, you know, to get that out of myself. And the same thing on the road. It's nice to be able to, you know, see what I can do on the road. I ran my first marathon with 2:08. Was okay. Wasn't great. But to be able to mix with the guys, I need to run a lot faster than that.
We just heard Mo Farah say how he ran 2 hours and 8 minutes in his first marathon. That came at the 2014 London Marathon. That's well off the current world record of 2 hours, 2 minutes, and 57 seconds set by Kenya's Dennis Kimeto at the 2014 Berlin Marathon. As Mighty Mo said, he's going to need to run a lot faster to keep up with the best runners at the marathon distance. Meanwhile, the sports apparel and equipment giant Nike recently announced an initiative to train elite runners in a bid to break 2 hours for the marathon. Mo Farah is sponsored by Nike, and he says he's intrigued by the company's Breaking 2 project.
It's good in a way to see what they can do. If it can go sub 2 hours, and you know, I'm an ambassador for Nike, and I work closely with the guys in terms of testing equipment and stuff. And it's great that, you know, they're looking that far ahead because, you know, I believe, you know, if you do get ready for it, it's possible, but I don't know how long it will take. I don't know if it's going to be 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, but, you know, everything, you know, if you try hard, then it's possible. But it's great that, you know, Nike are putting a massive investment into it and see what they can do.
When it comes to the Olympics, we know what that guy can do. That's four-time Olympic champion Mo Farah of Britain.
Hello, this is Haile Gebrselassie. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Listen to VOA's program lineup live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts, Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA News Feeds. VOAnews.com.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Writing at her Facebook page, two-time Wimbledon tennis champion Petra Kvitova says she was badly injured, shaken, and fortunate to be alive after she was attacked by a knife-wielding robber at her apartment. The 26-year-old Czech player says she attempted to defend herself and injured her left hand. Reports say Kvitova suffered multiple lacerations to the tendons and ligaments on her left hand and fingers. Kvitova's spokesman says she underwent a 4-hour operation. He described her injuries as serious, but added, and I quote, "There's no reason to think she wouldn't be able to play tennis." Keep in mind, VOA tennis fans, Petra Kvitova serves left-handed, and she's known for her powerful left-handed ground strokes. Kvitova is expected to be sidelined about 3 months, which rules her out of next month's Australian Open. Kvitova won a bronze medal in women's singles at this year's Rio Olympics in Brazil, in addition to her Wimbledon titles in 2011 and 2014. And this Sunny Side of Sports programming note, VOA social media reporter Andrew Palcheski will have reaction to the attack on Petra Kvitova later in the show. More tennis news. 14-time Grand Slam champion Rafael Nadal has turned to fellow Spaniard Carlos Moya to help revitalize his career in 2017. The 40-year-old Moya retired from tennis in 2010 because of a longtime foot injury. Like Nadal, he's a former world number one player. Moya will be part of Nadal's coaching team next year, along with his uncle, Tony Nadal, and Francis Roig. In a statement, Rafa said, and I quote, "To have someone like Carlos, who was not only a friend, but also a very important person in my career, is something special." Rafa adds, "He will be next to me at practice and during competition." Rafa has not won a Grand Slam title since lifting the French Open trophy for a 9th time in 2014. Nadal's been plagued by injuries, and he's currently ranked 9th in the world. Elsewhere, retired German tennis great Boris Becker says he won't rule out working with Novak Djokovic again in the future.
"I think we had 3 wonderful, successful years, but it was time to go separate ways. I call him like a very good friend, and he knows he can always call me if he needs something. But we both realized that it was a time for a break. That doesn't mean we couldn't come back together in the future. Who knows what's going to happen in a year or two?"
Boris Becker spoke in India, where he was helping promote a 25-kilometer road race. He and Djokovic split earlier this month. The Serbian star Djokovic won 6 of his 12 Grand Slam singles titles with Becker as his coach, but he slumped during the past 6 months and lost his world number one ranking to Britain's Andy Murray. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
The
If you were to talk to us from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
And my Voice of America colleague, Shaka Sali, will be waiting for you later Wednesday night at 18:30 GMT UTC with another edition of Straight Talk Africa. Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty seasonal greetings, Andrew.
Sporty seasonal greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you as always.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Wednesday?
Well, you talked a little bit earlier about that scary incident with tennis player Petra Kvitova, where she confronted a home invasion intruder and injured her hand in the knife attack. And lots of tributes and well wishes pouring in on social media for Petra Kvitova, the two-time Wimbledon champion. So I want to read a couple of those now for some top tennis players, including the top women's tennis player right now, Angelique Kerber, world number one. She tweets out, she says, "You're a fighter, Petra Kvitova, with a big heart. You will come back even stronger. I wish you all the best and a speedy recovery." We also have Garbine Muguruza of Spain saying, "Stay strong and recover well." Caroline Wozniacki, "All my thoughts are with her today. So scary. One of the nicest people I know." And that's actually one of the things we see consistently over and over again in these well wishes, is it's not just her athletic abilities that are being talked about, but also that she's just a very nice person, always friendly, has a lot of friends on the tour in the WTA. So we are seeing a lot of women's tennis players weighing in, including not just current players, but some big names from the past, notably Martina Navratilova. Said, "Just finding out about Petra Kvitova and the awful stabbing and injury to her hand. Pulling for you, Petra." And then she writes in Czech, "Fingers crossed." Of course, both of them are from the Czech Republic, Martina Navratilova from Czechoslovakia originally, but they're both Czech, so they have that as country women. And then we're also seeing, even from the men's side, Fernando Verdasco, male tennis player, saying, "All my support to you, Petra Kvitova. I'm so sorry to hear what happened. I wish you the best recovery. All the tennis world is with you." And that really is what we're seeing. All the tennis world, past, present, male, female, all really pulling for her for after this really scary incident.
Andrew, you read that tweet from Angelique Kerber, the current world number one in women's tennis, and she used that description, a fighter, to describe Kvitova. And I'm looking at her Facebook post now, Kvitova's Facebook post. And at the end, she says, "If you know anything about me, I am strong and I will fight this." So there's that word fighter, fight. Kvitova, a great competitor. So we definitely wish her well, as she's going to be sidelined, I guess, about 3 months minimum. So she'll be ruled out of next month's Australian Open. But hopefully she'll be back for the French Open, Andrew. I guess that's in April or May.
Yeah, in May. And especially for Wimbledon. Of course, she is the two-time champion there at Wimbledon. So hoping that she can make a recovery for that tournament in July. We'll see if, you know, I think based on what she said and based on her athletic record, she's going to work very, very hard to try to recover and try to get back for that Wimbledon tournament. And I really hope that she does. I think everybody does.
Andrew, I couldn't help but remember another knife-wielding incident involving the now-retired tennis star, Monica Seles. Has there been any sort of symmetry between those two incidents?
A little bit, just because that Monica Seles incident was such a touchstone, such a moment in tennis that everybody remembers that when she was on the court and a crazed fan came and stabbed her. And she was out of the game for, I think it was at least a year and a half or two years, just because of some of the psychological elements of that more than the physical. So there's a lot of kind of comparison that's going on, but there were two, you know, very different incidents. Of course, that was a, you know, a crazy person on the court. This was a home invasion, a kind of a random act, it sounds like. So hopefully this will be a quick recovery for Petra Kvitova, and we hope to see her back out on the court.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports, And if you check out my Facebook page, you'll see a post where I say best wishes to two-time Wimbledon champion Petra Kvitova as she recovers from that very scary home invasion that Andrew was talking about. Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, one of the many players who tweeted at their well wishes to Petra Kvitova was Victoria Azarenka. She wrote, "My prayers and best wishes to Petra Kvitova. Stay strong." Now, what's fascinating and amazing about this is that just the day before tweeting that, Victoria Azarenka welcomed a baby boy. So she must be tweeting from her hospital bed or somewhere. But all over social media, her social media accounts yesterday, Victoria Azarenka posting saying, "Today I had the hardest fight and my very best victory. Our son was born healthy and happy. So thankful and blessed. Thank you." So she's getting a lot of tributes from throughout the tennis world. People like Martina Navratilova, Billie Jean King, Belinda Bencic, who is a current women's player, James Blake, a former male tennis player from the U.S., and one person I thought was very interesting, Jelena Djokovic, the wife of Novak Djokovic. Of course, they just had their son, Stefan, not too long ago. So they know what it's like to be new parents. So getting congratulations from all of them. But this is something that in the midst of her rise after injury, Victoria Azarenka was on her way back and then announced that she was going to be withdrawing from the season because she was pregnant. So now there's also a lot of speculation about when she might return to the court. I don't think she'll be back in time for the Australian Open. That starts in about 3 weeks. Of course, she's the two-time Australian Open champion. But maybe we'll see her later in the season as well, maybe for the French Open, Wimbledon, and certainly maybe by the U.S. Open in August and September of 2017.
Victoria Azarenka, congratulations on your new baby. She'll take some maternity leave. Andrew, you follow tennis closer than I do. Is it common for mothers to be out there on the women's tour?
It wasn't for a long time, and it did in the past few years. And actually, it started really the more recent trend of this with someone who I was very lucky to see play in the U.S. Open final and win, and that was Kim Clijsters. She took some time off. She had a baby. She actually retired and then decided to come back, was playing, I think it's a wild card, so she wasn't ranked, and she had to kind of play a lot of these top-seeded players and came in and won that U.S. Open tournament. I believe it was in 2009. And I remember watching in that final and seeing her daughter kind of totter out onto the court after she won. She's holding her daughter in one arm and the trophy in the other. But it is becoming more common now, I think, for women's players to maybe take some time off to start a family and then come back to the tour. But I think that's just generally the men's and women's side. You're seeing a lot of players playing much longer than you did before. They're much more health conscious. And I think that maybe this plays into part of it. Taking some time off to have a baby, start a family, also take some time off to maybe recuperate from some lingering injuries and just take a time off to rest a little bit physically.
I also can't help but I can't forget Roger Federer. He's a proud papa. Well, I think he has two sets of twins.
Two sets to twins. That was my favorite headline ever of any sports article. It's two sets to love for Roger after his second birth of his second set of twins. So that was by far, whoever wrote that headline, kudos to them, because that's a good one.
Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, we talked about this story back in November, Poppygate. Of course, England and Scotland were playing a World Cup qualifier. They had those poppy armbands that were wearing for Armistice Day, and FIFA said that that was a political symbol, and they were considering fining them. Well, they've actually handed down those fines, about 35,000 British pounds for the England Football Association. Scotland and Wales get fines of about 15,500 pounds, and Northern Ireland's association gets about 12,000 pound fine. Not sitting well with many fans. They're saying that this is something that they should boycott the World Cup over, even using that kind of strong language. Some saying, well, you know what, maybe it is a political symbol. You don't see other countries doing this. They should face a consequence. But one thing's for certain, England is going to appeal this. The Northern Ireland Football Association actually going to meet today to decide if they are going to appeal it. So we're not hearing the last of Poppygate yet.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the December 21st holiday edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. Much has changed in the 35 years since a terrible new disease, known today as HIV/AIDS, was identified. Before, an HIV/AIDS diagnosis was a death sentence. A person with HIV often lived less than a year after it progressed to AIDS. Today, nearly half of the 37 million people living with HIV/AIDS receive life-saving HIV treatment, allowing them normal lives. Through the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, or PEPFAR, the United States has been at the forefront of the global response. PEPFAR is the largest commitment by any nation to combat a single disease in history, said U.S. Global AIDS Coordinator Ambassador Deborah Birx. Recent data show the epidemic is becoming controlled in several key African countries, demonstrating the remarkable impact of PEPFAR's investments. Indeed, achieving an AIDS-free generation is now within our reach. Driven by research and data, our collective efforts have saved millions of lives and are turning the tide against HIV/AIDS, said USAID Administrator Gail Smith. Today, PEPFAR is supporting 11.5 million people globally with life-saving treatment. The good news is, according to a recent UNAIDS report, infections in children globally have dropped 51% between 2010 and 2015. Simultaneously, annual AIDS-related deaths fell from 2 to 1.11 million. The bad news is the virus is spreading among young women in sub-Saharan Africa. According to a recent UNAIDS report, last year nearly 1 in 5 new infections worldwide occurred in women between the ages of 15 and 24. Adolescent girls and young women account for nearly 75% of new HIV infections among adolescents in sub-Saharan Africa. This is concerning, as the 15 to 24-year-old population in sub-Saharan Africa will have doubled by 2020. There are many reasons for the alarming rates of new HIV infections among young women, including gender-based violence, exclusion from economic opportunities, insufficient access to health care, even a lack of access to secondary education. So, through PEPFAR, the United States is working with its partners to reduce, by the end of 2017, new HIV infections among adolescent girls and young women by 40% in the highest HIV burden areas of 10 sub-Saharan African countries. It's the first time the U.S. government has ever set specific targets for preventing new HIV infections among this group, underscoring the U.S. global strategy to empower adolescent girls. With our partners, we can sustain an enduring legacy of American leadership, compassion, and determination, said USAID Administrator Smith. Together, we can end AIDS worldwide by 2030.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the 2016 year in review, we'll take a look at some of the continent's major events and happenings. We'll discuss Africa's political landscape and some of the challenges its leaders faced in 2016. That's right here on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Dante, AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.